Raising our kids in a society that normalizes what Scripture defines as perversion is a relatively new challenge for many Christian parents, particularly when it comes to the subject of homosexuality. So, how do parents raise up and train up their children to hold fast to the principles and mandates of Scripture without being viewed as a homophobe? We'll find out today, here on Licensed to Parent. Hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent. Our host is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a residential treatment program for troubled teens all over the country and, in fact, all over the world. I'm Rich Rosel, and we have a special guest today. His name is Eric Holmberg. He's been on the program before, and he brings a wealth of information through his work as founder and director of Real to Real Ministries Incorporated and the Apologetics Group. Eric is also an ordained minister, an author, a speaker, and a video documentarian whose work and views have been shared on countless radio and television shows, as well as newspapers and magazines around the world. And we're glad that he has added Licensed to Parent to that. Anyway, that's the brief history of Eric, part one. There's a lot more we could say, but that wouldn't leave time for the rest of the program. So, Eric, we are delighted to have you with us today on Licensed to Parent.
Rich and Trace, it's a real pleasure. Thank you.
Well, brother, thank you for being here. Listen, we've had more feedback on this subject, particularly on your last interview with us, than we've had on any other program we've ever done.
Well, Trace and Rich, I think this is the issue. Strike one was the untethering of sex from procreation. Not that procreation, sex doesn't have a sensual and aspect to it that is to be enjoyed for its own sake. But nevertheless, the potential for reproduction should always be behind the sex act. And once we untethered it from that back early part of this last century, we got the ball rolling. Strike two was untethering sex from the marriage bed, and that's also been going on for ever since the 60s in earnest. And the last step in our cultural descent into a full-blown apostasy is untethering sex from gender. So this is all a continuum. It's been going on for decades. And also, if I may, the idea that you can hold up the biblical standards on this and not be called a homophobe, that is literally impossible now. You will be called a homophobe. Steel yourself. Get ready for it. But the simple fact is that we are now approaching the last step before ultimate judgment, as defined by Paul in Romans 1. Once you say that which God calls evil, you call it good. Mm-hmm. There's really nowhere else for a culture to go except into the last stages of the judgment that has been really lapping against our shores now for decades. And so I think this is the reason this is so controversial is so many people have been seduced by the spirit of this age. The whole worldview that has been slowly marinating our culture. And so even a lot of good church-going people now have been are confused on this issue, see it in each stand for biblical righteousness in regard to this is unkind, it's cruel. Because the fact is most people that are homosexual, or by which I mean are practicing homosex, if you have a same-sex impulse, that doesn't make you homosexual no more than if you have an impulse to commit adultery, which most men do. That doesn't make you an adulterer. So we need to define our terms that a homosexual is somebody who's engaging in homosex. Mm-hmm. And clearly the Bible condemns that as it condemns fornication, adultery, all kinds of other sexual sins.
Well, let me just interject something here. How does that go back, just to clarify for people who might be, sorting through this too? You know, I've committed adultery in my heart, Sermon on the Mount type stuff where, if you thought about it, you've done it. How do you argue that with the folks who would say
what Jesus was addressing was the Pharisees who held to a form of righteousness while denying standards in their hearts. So they weren't fornicating, but they were eaten up with all kinds of other sins. And Jesus was trying to get to the point that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, that's really the locus of sin. It comes from the heart. And you cannot do certain things but still be a sinner. So, to lust after another woman in your heart, for a man is sin, but it is not just like being angry with somebody is equivalent to the same spirit that leads to murder. Mm-hmm. But being angry at somebody is not equivalent to murder by any stretch, and particularly by Scripture. That's a common mistake that people make. I'm not advocating. That's not saying it's not wrong to have lust in your heart, but it's a universe of difference between actually acting on it. So yeah, you know, I have a problem if I'm lusting after women in my heart. There's no question. And like every other guy I know, I have done that from time to time. But that I've never committed adultery or anything close to it in regard to my wife, thank God, 32 years of marriage. And so I'm not an adulterer. And there are a lot of good people out there that struggle with sexual temptation, a lot of good Christians. But as long as they're prevailing over it and taking dominion over it, not succumbing to it, they're walking in victory. And for some people, that they get, for whatever set of reasons, and we can talk about that, they get their wires crossed in regard to their sexual orientation. But as long as they're not succumbing to it, and this is what's problematic about Pope Francis's recent statement, by the way, is that he is calling priests that are not engaged in homosexual, and that's just not true. That's conflating sexual identity with sexual temptation. That's a real problem, very common problem in our culture. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question. They're two very different things.
Mm-hmm. Well, public opinion is rapidly changing. What used to be considered sinful, shameful, abominable is now looked at as acceptable. In 1973, even the American Psychiatric Association considered it, a mental illness. Now it's even, in some cases, considered hip. What the heck happened, and what are the implications for traditional families, parenting approaches, and our kids?
Well, it's just the standard frog and kettle syndrome, you know, slow incremental drip, drip, drip. And because our culture is so in tune now with, as you know, Trace, popular and rich, popular media just drives everything.
Right.
People are getting their worldview more from their televisions and the music they listen to than they are from their Bibles. And, of course, Hollywood has been deeply in the pocket of the Velvet Mafia. It's often called the homosexual activist movement for decades. And they've just, steadily, there's a new show on the American Family Channel, which used to be CBN, sold by Pat Robertson to ABC, called The Fosters. And I'll tell you, it's unbelievable. Every episode, it's a lesbian couple raising kids, foster kids, and it's absolutely in your face indoctrination in the LGBTQ worldview. And it seduced lots and lots of people. But you're right. What the implications of this for us now? I listened to an NPR report the other day on a Brazilian priest. The Pope's, of course, in Brazil right now, or at least was last I heard. And they interviewed a priest who embraces homosexuality as normative, as acceptable to God, and along with that, fornication before marriage, the allowance of adulterous affairs after marriage, as long as you're honest with your mate. Just a whole range of things, and that's where this ultimately heads. You know, if you look at God's word as defining the bullseye, what is it we're shooting at in life? None of us ever hit the middle of. The only person who ever did was Jesus. We all, harmatia, fall short of the glory. We make mistakes or we transgress, but at least we know there's a target. At least we should.
Right.
We know there's something we're shooting for. There's a standard we're shooting for. Once upon a time, in the days of Ozzie and Harriet, everybody knew that there was a lot of fornication going on and homosexuality. It always has been. But at least as a culture, we knew that this was the ideal. This is what we were shooting for.
Right.
Sex from marriage alone, lifelong faithfulness between husband and wife, strong, cohesive families where most of the training and morality and stuff takes place. And that was a standard. But now the target is being slowly expanded. Now the whole target is black. There is no bullseye. You should shoot anything you want. We're going to move towards polyandry, multiple relationships. Bestiality is now being normalized in places in Europe.
Oh, you're kidding me.
And the repercussions of this, I would argue, there's a lot of libertarian friends out there, and I consider myself very libertarian. I think Christianity at its heart, it tends towards libertarianism.
Mm-hmm.
But John Stossel and Glenn Beck, others like that, just say, what's it bothering? Who's it hurting? Well, the fact is that if you look at the fallout from sexual immorality, the secondary, tertiary fallout, the way it ripples out into the culture, just the culture of divorce, the culture of abortion, premarital sex, illegitimacy, 90% of all guys in prisons, as you guys know, grew up without a dad. I mean, and you sit down and really break out just economically, you break this thing out. I would argue that sexual immorality does more to damage the culture and hurt the economy than all the wars we've fought over the last century.
All right, listen, you're right, but here's the thing. You've got to be able to think in order to understand that. And we have a generation who is so reliant upon digital technology to do their thinking for them. I mean, we're entertained into imbecility, so we don't think through these things. And you're a guy who thinks. I think to some degree, I'm a guy who thinks. But the question here is this, and this falls right in line with what you're saying here. Why is concern for our society and another person's well-being when it comes to homosexuality now being looked at by so many people as hate speech? How is this much different from any caring friend who tells another friend, hey, you're drinking too much, or that girl's not good for you, or smoking will kill you? Are anti-smokers committing hate speech and being bigots against those who smoke? Is there not such thing as, you know, secondhand gay?
Well said, Trace. I mean, you got it exactly right. Why is that? I would argue that it's because of the fact that we're apostate culture. We call evil good and good evil. And sex is the one thing. You know, Malcolm Muggeridge said that the 20th century would be, I'm trying to remember the exact expression, but something like this would be known as the century where sex took the place of the cross as an object of longing and worship. And I would say that we have, you know, sex is a very, very powerful drive.
Sure.
Incredibly powerful. The only thing more powerful and only slightly more powerful is food, the desire to eat. It's obviously very pleasurable. It has all kinds of spiritual, emotional applications. It releases all kinds of hormones.
It's life-sustaining.
And other things. It's life-sustaining. It's the means by which we reproduce ourselves. It mirrors the image of Christ in the church. I mean, it's so critical on so many different levels. And so it's the one thing, you know, that remains just politically correct and protected. You cannot mess with somebody's sex life because we're a nation of sexual idolaters. That's just what it boils down to.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there, brother. Sexual idolaters. If the average life expectancy of a homosexual male is so much shorter than his heterosexual counterpart, and again, like the life expectancy of a smoker is shorter, why is this considered a gay lifestyle? You know, and am I right in thinking that the term gay has been hijacked and we've bought into it?
That's just one of a thousand different little wacky things that are going on that's pushed this whole agenda. You know, guys, there's a psychological term called cognitive dissonance, one of the few things in modern psychology that's actually got some support behind it. And which basically posits a biblical idea, and that is that if you're doing something that you know in your heart is not right, you've got to do something to reduce the dissonance, the noise that's caused by the conflict between the two things.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the biblical response is to repent, stop doing what you're doing wrong. But if you don't do that, then you have to justify what you're doing.
So and that's why a lot of people will abandon their faith when they head toward an adulterous affair or whatever.
That is precisely right. Or they look for some liberal interpretation of the scripture that says the Bible doesn't really mean what Christians for thousands of years have universally thought it means. But now it means today this.
Sure.
So there's all kinds of things that people do. But one aspect of denial is called confirmation bias, where you literally deny the facts right in front of your face. You just say they don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So statistically, the average male homosexual does die. It's the variety of, I read everything from 7 to 15 years or more quickly than a typical heterosexual. So what do they do with that? Well, they say that it's caused by homophobia. It's caused by the oppression and the culture that makes them feel bad about themselves. And simply remove that, and then they'll be happy. I was up at the D.C. Pride event last month or 2 months ago now in June. You know, I don't know how many people, certainly tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people lining the streets of D.C. Well, this two-mile parade of different floats and stuff. There were a number of floats that were just unbelievably obscene. Chipotle, for example, had a guy riding a big silver burrito, which is clearly phallic. He's riding it, rocking it in his legs.
The restaurant, Chipotle?
Chipotle. And then they had this Home Depot. I mean, so many companies now are in the back pocket of the gay movement. It's ridiculous. Kids everywhere, infants, children, just lining the... Well, I ended up talking the next day. There was a big block party on Pennsylvania Avenue, right in the shadows of the Capitol building. There's just three or four blocks shut down, concerts, different venues and things going on. And there was a booth run by a church. So I went up, and it turned out I ended up interviewing the pastor. It's a female. And I brought up all the, you know, I was playing dumb, you know, just I'm trying to figure this stuff out, sure. And kind of playing devil's advocate. And I asked her, you know, I was at the march yesterday and the parade, and there were a lot of kids there, and there were a lot of things shaking in a very sensual way. And little kids, I panned the camera down, and little kids, 5, 6 kids in strollers looking up at these people. So I brought this up to her. This is a bright, well-educated, and knew the Bible fairly well. But she was looking at it from this demonic, liberal, new age, you know, type slant. And I said, you know, this stuff is going on. And surely you don't approve of it. She said, well, you know, that is a form of art. It's a form of expression. And we have to be very careful that we don't judge it. And secondly, if you understood the oppression that these people have been under, same deal. This is all just simply a manifestation of them shaking out the chains. And once we normalize this stuff will all go away. So these are the theories that float out there. Also, gay parents, how they can do just as good as two straight parents. This is the end game. I mean, this is Satan. This is Goliath has come out on the field. And it is either he's going to rule over us, or we're going to rise up and rule over him. And I fear that the battle's probably, the die's been cast. We're going to go into a dark age that's going to last decades. But I believe ultimately we'll come out of it. You know, but it's going to take, the church is going to go into a time of persecution. Thankfully, we look at the Bible and some of the best times in the Old Testament were when the church was in captivity. So
we're on the downward cycle.
Daniel's and, yeah.
Absolutely. Eric, we need to, at this moment, jump in and take a break for our stations. We're talking with Eric Holmberg about raising kids in what has become a pro-homosexual culture in a society that normalizes what Scripture defines as perversion. We are not happy with that. We're discussing what that's doing to us, and in a moment, hopefully, we can turn the tables and see what we can be doing to raise our kids in spite of all that. You're listening to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rossel. Back with more right after this. Hi, I'm Rich Rossel, co-host of Licensed to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace, and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on Licensed to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on Licensed to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at LicensedToParent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to LicensedToParent.org and click Donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent. I'm Rich Rossel here in the studio with Trace Embry, and our guest joining us by phone today from Nashville is Eric Holmberg. And we have been talking about a real challenge for many parents today, and that's raising our kids in a society that normalizes what Scripture defines as perversion, that meaning the homosexual agenda. And Eric, I know before the break we were talking about just the frog in the kettle aspect of how changes have taken place slowly over a long period of time, but they crept up on us, and a lot of Christians are suddenly face to face with the homosexual phenomenon from all sides, including their churches. And how do we turn this around and deal with that with our kids?
Well, step one, we have to educate ourselves, and that there's a lot of good books out. I particularly recommend Dr. Michael Brown's book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, although it is very long and academic. But we're working on a series of videos we hope to have out in the fall that are tools, one called Is Gay Okay? 10 Things Every Christian Needs to Know, hosted by Larry Tomczak, that just goes quickly, kind of a primer on the top 10 things that Christians need to know in regard to this issue. We also have a DVD out called The Bible and Homosexuality. A lot of debate now going on, a lot of revisionist theology happening that's questioning. And let me just say quickly, I kind of alluded to this in the earlier section, but the bottom line for anybody who doesn't know Hebrew and Greek and is being approached by people who are taking 1 Corinthians 6:9, saying Malachi doesn't really mean this, it means that, and blah, blah, blah. You know, the bottom line is this. For 2,000, really, look at the Old Testament church, for 4,000 years, there has been almost universal agreement that homosexuality is aberrant, sinful, and even an abomination. And these are people that spoke the original languages, that were part of the original cultures, that were much closer to that particular ethos than we are now. How could it be that they have gotten it wrong for so long? Mm-hmm. It has taken us, a bunch of moderns who have drifted far away from the standards of God in every respect, the idea that we suddenly have uncovered the truth is just ludicrous. So people need to recognize it for what it is, just demonic. But there is an element of learning that has to take place. We've got to equip ourselves as the sons of Issachar to know the times and seasons and what it is the church should do. And then we have to teach these things to our kids in an age-appropriate fashion. You know, one of the things is just to study Genesis 1, 2, and 3. It's all right there. It's all right there. I mean, I could go into an hour-long teaching on just the whole formation of Eve from the side of Adam. And who was it? It's interesting. The Bible says that they said it is not good for man to be alone. And then it changes to the personal pronoun, I will make for him a helper. And I believe that was, while the Trinity was in total agreement and working together through the formation of the earth and the heavens and the 6 days of creation, however you want to look at that, and then the creation of man is the culmination of God's creation. But they're all working together, but Colossians 1:15 and following makes it clear that Jesus was the prime mover. He was given the primary responsibility for overseeing all this. And it's so poignant, so powerful to think how when it came time to fashion the bride, it was Jesus who came and did the surgery and removed from Adam his side and fashioned for him a bride in the same way that Jesus would thousands of years later come down and be willing to have his side split open and a bride formed from that. But it's all male and female, male and female. The binary gender identity. In fact, if you look at the 6 days of creation, again, however you want to look at it, periods of action or 24-hour days, I'm not personally that caught up in that. But they all deal with bifurcations, separation, light and dark, waters above, waters beneath, land from sea, and life from non-life, and then higher forms of life. God is into order through distinction. Satan is into chaos through conflation, mm-hmm. through bringing everything together back to the original primordial chaotic state. That's what Satan's all about. And this whole impetus is all about, in fact, there's literally signs I've seen at demonstrations that say destroy the binary, destroy the binary. Mm-hmm. They're looking to embrace chaos.
They know who their enemy is, don't they? They know exactly. Evolution is part of that equation as well.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. So these are things we got to understand. This is it, folks. This is the big guy. This is the end of the world as we know it on the scene right now. And we've got to rise up. We've got to strengthen our families, strengthen our marriages, repent of our collusion with this through mm-hmm. unbiblical divorce and remarriage, fornication, pornography. We have got to get back. You know, you can debate all kinds of things in the Bible, modes of baptism, tongues, eschatology. But one thing you cannot debate is that God wants his people to be righteous, to be pure, and sex over and over and over again. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That's the emphasis there in Titus. So that absolutely sexual purity is was what the early church was most known for. That's right. What literally blew the Roman.
Right, that was one of the principal things. Yeah,
these Christians are chaste. Mm-hmm. And now we're just like them, and that's why this judgment is coming down upon us.
We're coming up to the end of the program here, and do you have anything of encouragement that you can give parents who are sending their kids into the public school system and have to deal with a worldview that is contrary to everything they're being taught at home? What word of wisdom or encouragement can you give a parent to pass on to their kids in that regard?
Well, first off, really pray about getting your kid out of the public school. I think it's just untenable now to have your kids there. Watch the video, Elementary, by my friend, and just sit and really pray. And I couldn't afford private school. I still can't. I just had to write a check for $1,500 for my daughter's homeschooling co-op. You know, it's just that you can't invest enough money in your kids. It's the most important investment you can make. So that's the main thing, is get out of Dodge. I mean, get out of Haran and go move toward the promised land. You just have to. But if you're a single mom, you know, just don't have any choice, then number one, know that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. God's grace is sufficient. Educate your kids, pray over them, get tools to, you know, get them in a good church where they can, these values can be reinforced, where there's youth pastors and pastors that can sit down with your kids and teach them and help them make sense of this thing. And then model loving, healthy, you know, heterosexual, biblical relationships to your kids. That's another very important thing. It's a real challenge. There's no question. We're in the midst of the dark ages. So.
Our guest today has been Eric Holmberg, the founder and director of Real to Real Ministries Incorporated and the Apologetics Group. And you can learn more at theapologeticsgroup.com. Eric is also an ordained minister, an author, speaker, a video documentarian, and boy, does he have a lot to say on this subject. So we'll have him back to continue this conversation next week. You've been listening to the Licensed to Parent broadcast, a program dedicated to alerting parents to the issues of our day that are either going to help or hinder our parenting experience. We want to help equip parents with tools to overcome the cultural obstacles that are vying for the hearts of our kids. Parents are grossly underestimating the influence of much of today's entertainment. The church is being underestimated as well as far as its effect on behaviors, attitudes, and worldview of Americans today. And while we want to trust our churches, we can't always do that unless we can hold what they're teaching up to the light of Scripture. If you would like more help in becoming the parent that God wants you to be, raising your children with a biblical worldview, please go to our website, licensedtoparent.org. There you'll find plenty of parenting resources, links to our blog, our program archives where you can listen to past programs, and ways to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Also, while you're there, in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, you'll see a little donate button. Now, we would love for you to click on that. Your donation in any amount helps to further the ministry of Shepherd's Hill Academy, which reaches out to troubled teens, and to the ministry of Licensed to Parent, reaching out to parents to help them become the parents God wants them to be. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rossel, inviting you to join us again next week so you can once again renew your license to parent.
And folks, remember, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you again next time.